You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, it is a privilege to stand in this pulpit every Sunday. Lord, I love these people, and I know they know it. I'm so thankful for their love for Thee. I pray for those that are lost without Christ. They're not sure of heaven. I pray that this would be the day they come to know Christ. I pray for every Christian. Lord, it's decision time this hour. We're all going to make a decision. I pray we'd make good decisions for Thee. I thank You for Brother Kaufman and Sister Diane, their family. They've raised a good family for Thee. We're so thankful for them. I thank You for these young people from Bourbonnais, Illinois. They're part of such a great church, one of America's greatest churches. Thank You for Ryland's family being with them, and all throughout the house, guests that are here, faithful people as well. Speak to us, God. I thank You for these bus kids, teenagers up here, B and C. Thank You for the other property, the Spanish ministry and the C ministry there this hour, and the rooms that have refilled on this property, Sunday school. Bless each one is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is decision time. I'm going to ask you to make a decision today. I hope it'll be for a lifetime, but we all will make a decision. Will we decide to do this, or we'll decide to do this? I want to come to you on this subject, and I've already decided this in my life. Here's my message today. I'm going to live for Jesus Christ. Amen. I brought with me my camp book from 1961. That was the theme of this, I'll live for Jesus. They taught us this little course. I want you to learn it with me. It just goes, I'll live for Jesus. Day after day, I'll live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit, I will obey. I'll live for Jesus. Day after day. I'll help you with it. Let's learn it. I'll live for Jesus. I'll live for Jesus. Day after day.
Day after day.
Good. I'll live for Jesus.
I'll live for Jesus.
Let come what may. Let come what may. The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit.
I will obey. I've pastored this church over 50 years. Most people eventually walk away from God. A year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years. Yeah, this will be a little thing that you did. Some folks go all the way through the Christian school and they bring their kids up in Christian school and then they think they're done and they just get out of church. Brother Jerry Whitlow had a revival in the prison with several of our men this week. They had 31 men saved this week. Brother John Morris went into the prison thinking he was going to try to be a blessing to these men his first time. And he spoke and he said, fellas, I was so wrong. These men, hardened criminals, one was there for 33 years and most of them are lifers and they're there forever. And these men are singing the hymns of Zion. They're singing at Calvary, years I spent in, and they're singing, and they're weeping as they sing, it's true. And they're making decisions for Christ. And so many have said, I've been saved, but now I'm gonna grow in grace. They've invited them back to come once a month. They had a 3-day meeting there. These criminals are incarcerated, but they love God. 75% of all those men do not have a dad in their life. Man, you are so important. And you think you can walk away from your wife and call that living for Jesus. That's living for self. Ladies, some of you in this room, and I've got more ladies on my backslidden list than I have men. Ladies that just refuse to come to church and their husband comes alone, whole page of you. And you say, I've decided not to go with God. I'm going to tell you something. Your kids don't have a fighting chance. I live for Jesus day after day. I made that decision in 1961. Oh, I varied along the line here and there. My sophomore year in high school, I made a decision again. I'll live for Jesus. My sophomore year in college, when I was trying to get drafted by the Marines to go to Vietnam, and I was trying to get, I didn't fill out my reports like I was supposed to because I was wanting to get drafted. I've got my draft card to this day. Every year, I got a ministerial draft. I never asked for it. Because God wanted me to be a pastor of a church. God didn't want me to die on some battlefield in Vietnam, away from Him. God wants to do a work in your life. I want you to read Philippians 1:21 with me today. Philippians chapter 1, and here's our text today, verse 21. Ready? Begin.
For to me to live.
All the ladies read it. Shall we read it, ladies, please?
For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
Let's read it together, shall we?
For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain.
One more time. For to me to live is Christ,
and to die is gain.
I'll live for Jesus day after day. I'll live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit I will obey and live for Jesus. I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm too close to the end of my journey now not to live for Jesus. I'm going to live for Him. And young people, you're not married yet. You're going to get married. Mrs. Treiber and I decided when we got married 53 years ago, we decided we were going to live for God a lifetime. We've had more hurt and more sorrow and more difficulty in life than we've had in the blessings of God. I'm just going to tell you, that's the way it works. Man that's born of woman, his days are few and full of troubles as sparks fly upward. I've got Bible college kids that have graduated from here and they love me when they graduated and then they turn and they're away from God and then they become so hateful. I've got kids that have been in our high school and they grew up in our elementary school and I held them when they were babies and they grew up here and they love this place and they graduated from this place and now today they hate the things of North Valley Baptist Church. You're going to have to decide who you're going to live for. I'm going to have to decide who I'm going to live for. My Bible says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm going to say, first of all, it's going to be difficult to live for Christ. Look at verse 20 with me, please. According to my earnest expectation, my hope, in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness now in Christ be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Paul knew what he was talking about. He knew he was days away. He's in prison and he's going to have his head put on the chopping block. The sword's going to come down. The guillotine is going to come down. There he is. And they led him out there and laid him on that rack. And as they put him on that rack, he knew that he would live to die for Jesus Christ. I don't know what's ahead of us. I do know that prophetically, this Iran deal is all prophecy. We are living in a prophetic day. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know one day God is going to gather all the nations of the world 3.5 years into the tribulation, and he's going to gather them together against Israel to fight against it. Everyone's going to hate Israel. They're going to hate Israel. And by hating Israel, they're going to war against, they're going to all gather. Napoleon said this. He said, this is the greatest world battleground in America's and world's history. It was Megiddo. That's where God says, I'm going to have the battle of all battles. And he's going to gather them together and they're going to fight against Israel. But King Jesus is going to win the battle. I want you to understand there in these last days, to stand for Christ, we have more people being martyred for Christ than at any time in America, in world history. 100 million people were martyred for Christ during the Dark Ages, 500 years. They're buried in the catacombs, many of them in Rome, underneath. You can go and walk through those catacombs and see the dead Christians that would not deny and would not bow to Catholicism, but said, I'm going to trust Jesus Christ as my Savior. And they died with death. I don't know what's ahead of you, but some of you may have to die. Some of us may have to say, I'm a Christian. I think of India today, I mentioned it already. 12 huge districts that won't allow you to get a job if you're a Christian. I checked with Brother Montagi, he said it's true. It's so sad to think that we have an Indian ministry here. You folks need to pray for India every single day. It's going to be hard. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues. They stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in the hand. And they cried out, saying, whose are these? And whence came they? These are they that came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. If you get saved in the tribulation, 7 years on planet, if you get saved, you have not heard the gospel. God's going to save 144,000 Jewish missionaries. They're going to populate and go all over the world and preach the gospel. Many will get saved. Many will not get saved. And God's word says that if you get saved, you are going to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. I'll live for Jesus day after day. I'm going to live for him. Look what the Bible says. Secondly, not only is it going to be difficult, you're going to have to take a stand. Verse 14, and many of the brethren of the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, were much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, and some of goodwill. And one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add to the affliction of my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. I take a stand. I have to take a stand at work. You know, at work, you take a stand. I'm not talking about witnessing on the job and all that business. You get hired for 8 hours, you ought to give them. But in the lunchroom, you can read your Bible. In the lunchroom, you can tell others how to be saved. Do you realize that you are working with people that want to know how to be saved? One of our men, I said last Sunday, had three men in the last 3 weeks all die at work. One committed suicide. Suicide is running rampant in America. My phones pop up constantly. The great athletes that are committing suicide, the Hollywood stars, children committing suicide, and young people giving themselves over to suicide. It's the ultimate self-trip. Had a man come to church. He's here today. About 4 or 5 weeks ago, he said, this is my last stop. I'm committing suicide. He got saved, and he's been here every service. Amen. You made the right choice, sir. Amen. You made the right choice. You're going to have to take a stand for Jesus Christ. Be a soldier of Jesus Christ. The third thing I see quickly this morning, your listeners, it's going to be difficult. And it's going to take a stand. And it's going to keep... It's going to need to keep a great spirit. Verse 18. Whether it be by life or death. Whether, verse 18, for what then, notwithstanding every way, whether pretense or truth, Christ be preached. Therein do I rejoice, and I will rejoice. I am not going to live my life with a blue spirit. I refuse to. I refuse to get all wound up with the economy. I refuse to. I refuse to get all wound up with the gas prices, with food prices, with housing costs, educational costs. I'm not going to get wound up with that. Because one day I'm going to die, it's still going to be going on. God says the poor you'll always have with you. We think we can solve the poor problem, but when government gets their hand in it, they just create more poor people. If a man won't work, he should not eat. That's what the Bible says. And God's word says that I'm going to rejoice.
Yes, sir. Amen.
18 times in this 4 chapters, 104 verses, he said, rejoice, 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 amen. Be glad, have joy, rejoice. I'm going to rejoice.
Yes, sir.
I don't know what's going to happen. One day, my wife might wake up and realize I died through the night. And she's going to have to suffer alone. She'll be okay. One day I might have to wake up and call the medics and try to revive her. And I can't imagine living life without her. She is my life. But I'm going to trust that God has never made a mistake. I don't know what sorrows ahead of me with my children, my grand. We got a granddaughter today, maybe going to give birth. I'll be a great grandpa by the end of the day, perhaps today. I know I'm not old enough, but my wife is. But that went over real big, didn't it? I'm old enough to be a grandfather. Let me say number 4. Not only is it going to be difficult, you're going to have to take a stand. You're going to have to keep a great spirit. You're going to have to walk humbly before God. Chapter 3, verse 8. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Our Lord gave us an example of humility. Humility is not thinking low of yourself. It's not thinking of yourself. Sir, if you're married, stop thinking of yourself. Think of your wife. Think of your children. Dear ladies, if you got all these plans for your husband, let him walk with God. Let him understand. Let your husband figure out when his body is telling him to retire. Let your husband figure that out. Say, well, we won't make it. You'll make it. You'll make it. Amen. You'll make it.
Amen.
May have to change your lifestyle, but you'll make it.
Yep.
Trust that husband that you're married. Trust him. Trust your wife. Trust your kids. Trust your parents. Stop this nonsense. We have parents all the time, and they say, well, my son's 17, soon to be 18. He's just going to have to decide on Bible college. A 17-year-old, 18-year-old is not wise enough to make that decision. You young people, if you're from good homes, and even if you're not, you got Brother and Mrs. Bragg there, don't make a decision. Well, I just got to make this. No, you're not smart enough for that. I know your pastor teaches at Providence. He's my dear friend. Maybe he'll choose Providence for you. Go ahead and be second class. But go ahead and go. My dad said to me, son, you owe me your 13th year. I never debated my dad one time. I was all set to go. I was all set to go to Tennessee Temple College. Yes! I'm excited about it. And I was going to go to Tennessee Temple. And I was going to find a Southern Belle. And I was going to marry that Southern Belle. Had it all lined up. But I never told my dad. I said, where do you want me to go to college? And he said, I want you to go up north to Wisconsin. And I married a northern girl. That was the best decision I've ever made. My dad died about 10 years ago. I never told him, ever told him, I wanted to go to another college. Because my dad loved me more than I loved myself. My dad prayed for me more than I ever prayed for myself. Hey, young people, give your life to God. Mom and dad, give your life to God. Let me close. I'm going to take a stand against a perverse nation. Look at chapter 3, verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, whom you shine as lights in the world. I'm going to stand against a wicked nation. I've been praying every day for since Pastor's Conference for America. Our America is so wicked. And I hold independent fundamental Baptist preachers that are caving and changing to be at fault. You know, America was built on the Sunday school. You cannot find a Sunday school in America. It's just so rare to find. They're all dropping Sunday school. America was built on Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. Just, they're all open. By the way, that's why churches, most churches, Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, all of them, they started at 7:30 at night. Why would they start so late? 7:30. Because America was farmers. And they had to milk the cows every 12 hours. And so they'd milk them in the morning, then milk them late at night, and then get to church. But you can only find one church, 9 million people in this region. 9 million people. You can only find one church north of us and one church south of us that meet on Sunday night. Baptist, Congregationalist, Lutheran, Presbyterian, one. North, one. South. And we're wondering why we're losing America? And God's word says so much the more as you see the day approaching. Don't get trifling with God. I did my God thing, one and done. No, Colossians 3:4 says, Christ, who is our life? He should be your life. I'll live for Jesus day after day. I'll live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit I will obey. I'll live for Jesus day after day. That was many years ago. I don't regret a mile I've traveled with my Lord. You know, we think of the Bible. Daniel made that decision as a teenager. They captured him and took him captive. At age 90, he started off in captivity as a teenager. At age 90, they threw him in the den of lions. He was away from his mother and his dad the remainder of his life. He never saw his parents. He could have done anything he wanted, and nobody would ever have seen him. But Daniel 1 verse 8 said, Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself with the king's meat or wine. Daniel took a stand as a teenager, and it lasted his teens, his 20s, his 30s, his 40s, his 50s, his 60s, his 70s, his 80s, his 90s. He lasted. All 12 disciples were martyred. Oh, there were times when they wavered and they walked away from God, but they all came back. I think of Esther said, Queen Esther, if I perish, I perish. If God takes my life, that's what's going to happen. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, they all decided, I'm going to live for God. What are you going to live for? Most people are living for money. We live for money. We live for success. We live for position. We live for popularity. We live for appearance. We're living for everything that is going to burn up one day. Why don't you live for God? Yes. Amen. I'm calling you this morning. Make a decision for God today. And when you get my age, you'll look back and maybe your kids are living for God. Maybe they're not. I don't know. But your race should say, I live for God. Amen. I remember that camp, 1961, because I fell in love with my counselor. I was probably 10, 11, 12, and she was probably 30. Oh, she was beautiful. She's dead now, I'm sure. I fell in love with that girl. Oh, my goodness. I love camp. But I read my notes that I wrote in here. You know, my notes said, I want to live for God. Amen. My handwriting, some of it's misspelled. I wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer. All my notes said, I want to live for God. Amen. I want to know why. I'll live for Jesus. Day after day, I'll live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit.
I will obey. I'll live for Jesus.
These bus kids up here are so sweet. They're singing with me right now, waving at me. They have everything against them. But I believe many are going to live for Jesus. I was praying this morning, or yesterday, I forget. I was praying for all the men that grew up on our buses that are out serving God as preachers now. Praying for all those boys that got saved in our ministry. 39 sat right where you're sitting. Move over one row, okay? Thank you. There we go. 39 sat right next to me. They're all pastors now across this nation. 39 men. Excuse me, 40 men now. Thank God for every one. Live for God. Father, help us to live for Thee. Help us to love Your Bible, obey Your Bible. And when things get hard, oh God, may we stand up for Jesus. May we live for Christ. I think of these teenagers and adults that we have here today. God, help me, everyone, to decide I'll live for Jesus day after day, one day at a time. I'll live for Jesus, let come what may. I don't know what's ahead. I think of that church, our heads are bowed. Our men were there this week. That dear pastor was on the mission field, and his dear wife in their 30s passed away suddenly. Came home, he's pastoring, raising his kids for God. That's a hard road. It's a hard, difficult situation. I'll live for Jesus. How many here, you say, I've already made that decision, and that decision is my life. I'm going to live for Jesus. Our heads are bowed. Would you slip your hand up? I've already made that decision. I'm going to live for Him. God bless your hands everywhere. Father, you may put them down. Father, thank you for these good people. Lord, thank you for the hundreds and perhaps thousands that would have already raised their hand. I'm living for Jesus. I believe they will. I believe they will. Many have counted the cross. Their hearts are broken over their children, over the decisions their children have made, but they're going to live for Thee. Thank you for the bus kids. Most of those bus kids just raised their hands. I'm going to live for Jesus. Bless them. God, give them grace in their lives and mercy. May they trust You.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.